Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Right, let's jump right in. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into Best Buy.
Okay.
This classic retailer, can it really make the leap and become like the next huge e-commerce giant? That's what we're going to try to figure out today. And we've got some pretty good sources to work with.
Okay.
We got their Q3 2024 earnings call transcript.
Right.
And their 10-Q report for the same period.
Great.
Let's see what we can uncover about how they're navigating this crazy economy, what they're focusing on, and what's driving their big decisions.
Yeah, you know, one thing that jumps out right away is how they're doing in this, like, tough economy, right?
Yeah.
They actually met their operating income target.
Oh, wow.
Even though their sales were a little bit softer than expected.
It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it suggests that they're really good at managing costs, but it kind of makes you wonder, are they choosing to focus on profits? Instead of, you know, going all out for like super aggressive growth.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it seems like they are kind of prioritizing profitability over just like crazy growth.
It's a possibility for sure. Their comparable sales did drop 2.9%.
Okay.
But they did see growth in some areas like computing tablets and services.
Mm.
But there's this trend that's kind of interesting. A lot of customers are really focused on deals.
So people are buying, but they're like really waiting for those sales.
Exactly. They're being careful with their money.
Yeah, which makes total sense these days. Yeah. But wait a minute, they had a 7% jump in laptop sales?
I know, right?
That's huge.
It is. That's their best performance in that category since like April 2021.
Wow.
And, you know, everyone's talking about AI these days.
Right.
But it seems like a lot of this growth is just good old-fashioned replacement cycle.
Yeah, people just need new laptops.
They do.
And Best Buy is where they're going to get them.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a tried and true place to go for that.
Okay, so that makes sense. But aren't they also doing some interesting stuff to capture that premium market?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, I remember reading about the whole XXL TV thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a smart strategy, right? They're focusing on those massive screens, like over 97 inches.
Oh, wow.
And you can get them in over 700 stores.
Really?
It's like a way to cater to that customer who wants the ultimate home theater experience.
Right. And they can totally pull that off, right?
Yeah.
They've got the expertise in store to advise people. And then with their Geek Squad, they can handle the delivery and the installation of these huge TVs.
Exactly. Yeah. It's something that Amazon just can't easily replicate.
Right. And speaking of, you know, catering to different customers, it seems like Best Buy is really looking ahead to 2025 with some pretty big goals.
Oh, yeah. They've laid out four key priorities.
Right.
And it's clear that they're not just reacting to what's happening in the market. They're trying to actually shape it.
Okay. I like that proactive approach.
Yeah, absolutely. So first up, they want to invigorate and progress targeted customer experiences.
Okay. Well, that sounds like, you know, typical marketing jargon.
It does.
But what does that actually mean?
Well, think about their app refresh. They made it way more personalized, added things like a digital wallet deal alerts, even made it load faster.
Oh, nice.
And all of that's led to higher customer ratings and more people actually using the app.
So they're actually winning in that digital space.
We are. They're really stepping up their game.
But they're also doing some cool stuff with their in-home delivery too, right?
Yeah, they have this system where customers can actually track the live ETA of their delivery, like down to the minute.
Well, that's cool.
And they just announced this new feature scheduled parcel delivery.
Ooh, what's that?
You can pick a specific 2-hour delivery window up to 7 days in advance.
That is very cool and super convenient, but that's got to be like logistically complicated.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's all about making things easy for the customer, but I wonder, you know, at what cost?
Yeah, that's a good point. There's always that balance between convenience and how efficient things are behind the scenes.
Right.
And that actually leads into their second priority, driving operational effectiveness and efficiency.
Okay, so that's all about streamlining the business.
Exactly. It's about working smarter, not harder. And get this, they've managed to keep labor rates flat as a percentage of sales, even though their revenue has gone down.
Wow, how are they doing that?
Well, they're optimizing staffing levels using vendor partnerships for in-store labor and, of course, AI.
AI, yes.
They're using it to route those in-home delivery trucks.
Smart.
And even for customer support.
Really?
They've got these AI-powered virtual assistants handling a big chunk of those customer interactions.
That's pretty cool. I get the whole efficiency thing with AI, but, you know, isn't there a risk of making the customer experience too automated?
Yeah, that's a valid point.
You know, people still like that human touch, especially when you're making a big purchase.
Right.
Like a giant PV or a new laptop.
You're absolutely right. It's all about finding that balance.
Right.
Too much automation can feel impersonal.
Yeah.
But if you do it right, that blend of technology and human interaction can actually make the experience better.
That's true. So they're focusing on the customer. They're getting more efficient with their operation.
Yeah.
But what about the financial side of things? How are they handling their money? What's their approach to capital allocation?
Well, their third priority is continuing a disciplined approach to capital allocation.
Okay. So being responsible with their investments.
Exactly. They're planning to cut capital expenditures by about $50 million compared to last year, but they're still focusing on dividends and share repurchases. Hmm. It's a balanced approach. You know, it shows stability and that they're being careful with their finances.
Right. That's reassuring, especially for investors.
Yeah.
But remember that question we started with?
Yeah.
Can Best Buy actually become an e-commerce giant? That brings us to their fourth and final priority.
Okay.
Exploring, piloting, and driving incremental revenue streams.
Okay.
This is where things get really interesting.
I know, right?
Yeah.
This is the exciting part. So they've partnered with Bell Canada.
Okay.
And they're rapidly expanding those Best Buy Express stores.
Oh, yeah. Those little mini Best Buys.
Exactly. They're like these little Best Buy shops within other retail locations.
Yeah. So they're getting creative with their physical presence.
They're reaching new customers in a way that's pretty cost effective.
I like it. But the real game changer here has got to be their upcoming U.S. online marketplace.
Well, absolutely. That's going to be huge. It's launching in mid-2025.
Oh, okay.
And it would basically let them offer a way wider range of products.
So they could attract new types of customers.
Exactly. And potentially bring in a lot more revenue.
That's a really bold move. It could seriously shake things up in the e-commerce world.
For sure. Think about it. Best Buy, known for their physical stores and expert advice, could become a big player in the online marketplace game.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. It's like they're trying to carve out their own little niche in e-commerce.
Yeah.
You know, appealing to customers who want more than just the cheapest price.
Exactly. They could become the place to go for those carefully chosen, high-quality products.
Right.
Backed by their expertise and great customer service.
So it's not just about selling more stuff. It's about creating a different kind of shopping experience.
Exactly. They're trying to stand out from the crowd.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here already.
We have.
You know, from their financial performance to their strategic priorities.
Yeah.
And we've only scratched the surface. There's still a lot to unpack, especially when it comes to the challenges they're facing.
Right, like those tariffs on goods from China and Mexico.
Ooh, yeah, those are a big deal.
That's a potential problem for any retailer.
Especially one like Best Buy that depends so much on its supply chain.
Exactly. It's definitely something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, that's going to be a key factor to watch for sure.
You know, those tariffs are a real concern.
Yeah.
Because Best Buy only imports like 2-3% of their products directly.
Mm.
So they really depend on those vendor partners.
Right.
Any kind of disruption in that supply chain, especially with those tariffs, could really impact their costs.
And ultimately their prices.
Exactly.
So it's a tough balancing act.
It is.
They got to stay competitive on price, but they're kind of at the mercy of all these outside forces.
Yeah. It's like they're playing chess while everyone else is playing checkers.
Right. Exactly. So what are they doing to deal with all this tariff stuff?
Well, they're definitely not ignoring it.
Okay.
We're talking to stakeholders, you know, educating them about the potential impact of these tariffs.
Okay.
Working closely with their vendor partners to find solutions.
It sounds like they're taking a very collaborative approach.
They are emphasizing transparency and communication.
Which makes sense. I mean, they can't control those external forces.
Right.
But they can control how they communicate and how they adapt to them.
Exactly.
Seems like a pretty responsible approach.
Yeah, it's about being proactive and trying to find creative ways to minimize the impact on their business and their customers.
I mean, are they considering like absorbing some of those cost increases?
Yeah, they're actually looking at ways to maybe absorb some of those costs instead of passing them directly on to the consumer.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah?
I mean, it shows that they're committed to their customers.
It does.
You know, willing to take a hit to keep those relationships strong.
Exactly.
But let's shift gears for a minute.
Okay.
Go back to that online marketplace launch.
Right.
We talked about the potential, but what are some of the risks?
Well, launching a marketplace is a big undertaking.
Yeah.
There are definitely some risks. One challenge is going to be attracting enough high-quality sellers.
Right. You got to have a good selection.
Exactly. They need to make sure there's a wide variety of products and that they're good quality.
Okay.
They also need to make sure the customer experience is smooth and reliable.
From like browsing to buying to delivery.
Exactly. All of it has to be top-notch.
It's a tall order, especially when you're going up against like the Amazons of the world.
It is.
Do you think they can pull it off?
You know, I think they have a real shot.
Okay.
Best Buy has a strong brand reputation.
They do.
People trust them. They're known for their expertise and good customer service.
Yeah.
If they can bring those same values to the online marketplace experience, they could really stand out from the crowd.
So it's like they're trying to create a specific niche in the e-commerce world.
Exactly.
You know, for customers who are looking for something more than just the lowest price.
Yeah. They could be the place to go for those carefully selected, high-quality products.
Okay.
With the added bonus of their expertise and that exceptional customer service.
So it's not just about selling more. It's about creating a different kind of shopping experience.
Exactly. It's about the whole package.
And that kind of brings us back to our original question.
Yeah.
Can Best Buy become the next big e-commerce giant?
I know. It's the big question.
They're definitely making bold moves.
They are.
Showing they're willing to adapt and innovate.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it all comes down to execution.
Right.
Can they deliver on their vision and create something truly compelling for consumers in this super competitive world of online retail?
It's going to be fascinating to watch.
It really is a fascinating story to follow.
Yeah.
I think we've given our listener a lot to think about. They've got insights into Best Buy's performance, their strategic priorities, their bold bets for the future.
It's a good overview.
We've looked at their strengths, their challenges, and those crucial decisions they're making.
To navigate this crazy retail world.
Exactly. And it's a world that's always changing.
It is.
So for our listener, I think we want to leave you with this final thought.
Okay.
What does Best Buy's story tell us about the future of retail?
That's a good one.
How will technology, consumer behavior, and like global economic forces shape the way we shop in the years to come?
Yeah. What's the future going to look like?
And what role will Best Buy play in all of that?
Yeah. Where do they fit in?
Those are the questions we encourage you to ponder as you continue your own deep dive into the world of retail and technology.
It's a journey of discovery.
It is. Yeah. It's pretty amazing how much the retail landscape has changed, you know, even just in the last few years.
Yeah, I know, right? It's incredible.
And Best Buy is like a perfect example of that.
Yeah.
How companies need to be constantly like adapting and innovating just to stay ahead.
Absolutely.
I mean, they've gone from being this traditional brick and mortar store to embracing e-commerce.
Yeah.
Building out their services. And now they could become a big player in the online marketplace world.
It's a pretty impressive evolution.
It is. And they're doing all of this while facing like economic uncertainty.
Yeah.
Supply chain disruptions. Increased competition from everywhere.
It's a lot to juggle.
It is. It's like a high stakes game and they're playing it really strategically.
Yeah, they're making smart moves.
It makes you realize that there's so much more to a company like Best Buy than you see on the surface.
Right.
We often just see the store or the website.
Yeah.
But there's a whole world of strategy and decision making and risk taking happening behind the scenes.
That's what makes these deep dives so interesting. You get to peel back those layers and really understand what's going on.
And like the forces that are shaping the businesses we interact with every day.
Exactly. It's a glimpse behind the curtain.
It's like we've got this backstage pass to the world of retail.
Yeah.
And we're seeing how the whole show is put together.
It's pretty cool when you think about it.
It is. And hopefully our listener, you know, is coming away with a new appreciation for how complex and dynamic the retail industry really is.
Yeah, it's definitely not as simple as it might seem.
Not at all. And maybe even some inspiration to apply these insights to their own lives.
Yeah.
Whether they're running a business or making investment decisions or just navigating this crazy world of consumerism.
Because it's all about understanding the trends. You know, anticipating the challenges and making informed choices that align with our goals.
Right.
Well said.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive into Best Buy.
It's been a pleasure.
It's been a fascinating journey.
It has.
And I'm sure we'll be revisiting their story as it continues to unfold.
Oh, definitely. There's always more to learn.
Until next time, keep those brain gears turning. And remember, there's always more to discover in the world of business and technology.
Absolutely. Keep exploring.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.